This is Morning Edition. I'm Tom Kooser. I'm going to share a baseball memory with you, and I'll explain why in just a moment. But I can remember back in eighth grade, the 1967 World Series was the Red Sox versus the Cardinals. And back then, some of the games were played in the middle of the afternoon. It wasn't always a primetime evening set up for TV purposes. So the radios, the little transistor radios, well, several of them were snuck into class. And those earpieces that came with the transistor radios that were stuck up the shirt and into the ear. Teacher found out. He said, "That's enough. Radio's off." But he let two people turn their transistor radios on and let us listen to the World Series game that day. And I remember everyone hanging on every pitch. It was Jim Lomborg versus Bob Gibson in that game. And I'll never forget that. And I'm sharing that because it's memories like these that are now being used to help people living with dementia. It's called sports reminiscence therapy. I'm joined in the studio by Michael Ego. He's a professor of human development and family studies at the University of Connecticut. He's been working with facilities that care for dementia patients to include sports reminiscence therapy in their treatment. And also on the line with us is Donna Spellman, the executive director of Riverhouse Adult Day Center in Coscob, Connecticut, which is using this therapy. Good morning to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Professor Ego, I understand that sports reminiscence therapy comes to us from Scotland. How did you learn about it and what drew your attention to it?
Yes, well, my first introduction to sports reminiscence actually occurred when I found out that the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team had initiated a program in 2013. And when I contacted them, I asked them, I said, "Wow, this is a neat idea. Did you actually create this concept?" They said, "No, we got the idea from Scotland," and that the people in Scotland initiated a program in 2009 that was focused on soccer. And in Scotland, they also wanted to make sure that the men that had the disease would have attention given to them, since most of the programs that were being offered to the people with dementia in Scotland were targeted towards females, and they were more focused on creative expression, which didn't gravitate towards the men.
And what piqued your interest? What prompted you to call the Cardinals after you heard about the program?
It was actually related to a course that I was teaching. The full title of the course is Baseball and Society, Politics, Economics, Race, and Gender. So it covers the span. And so when I was doing some preparation for that course one day, I came across this article about the Cardinals. And that's what triggered me to say, wow, that's sort of different. And it sort of tied into the fact that baseball has, over the years since it started, been an influence on American society in different ways. And so here was another way that perhaps baseball could add to the quality of life of individuals that were suffering from this disease.
And how is it supposed to help with dementia? What's the theory, I guess, behind it?
Believe it or not, in regards to this particular illness, disease, I should say, that long-term memory actually is a little more accessible than short-term memory. And so what we've been doing is to trigger memories about each person's experiences, in this case as baseball participants or as fans. And so we initiate activities that will offer them a chance to be with their peers. So we've been very fortunate that Donna Spellman has been very receptive to what we're doing, because there are not very many programs that currently exist that are focused on baseball in this country.
Well, Donna Spellman, what brought sports reminiscence therapy to your facility, Riverhouse Adult Day Center?
You know, reminiscence in general is a great way of engaging with people. Although somebody might have difficulty recalling a name or the name of a stadium or the name of a player, they do recall the game and the emotional aspect of the game. And, you know, there are very few people who really haven't been touched by baseball as a culture, as a sport. It seems to be something that really touches most of our client population.
Are you seeing positive changes, would you say, in the people participating in the sessions?
There's not a person that doesn't go to the program who doesn't come to life because something sparks a memory or a story. It's just magical to see how people just kind of wake up. And They talk about it afterwards to each other. Like, the buzz doesn't just end at the end of the program, but they continue the conversations. We have people showing up, actually, I don't even know if Michael knows this, but we have people showing up wearing baseball caps all the time now. But I can also tell you that it's not only benefiting the clients themselves, but it's also benefiting their family members. And as an example, now the clients have something to talk to with their family members, and their family members or caregivers, in that moment when they're talking about baseball, it's not about the disease anymore. It's not about the illness. We had that experience when we went to Citi Field. And I remember the bus ride home talking to an adult daughter of one of our clients, and she said how special the day had been because that day was just about the Mets game. And it wasn't so much about, I have to do this for Dad and I have to do that for Dad. It was just a day to enjoy out at Citi Field.
Professor Ego, you mentioned that you are working to expand the program to other facilities, but you're running into some doubt just because people want to see actual hard data, or there's a serious doubt about what this kind of interaction can do to make someone's life a little more pleasant.
Right. Well, there has been some actual research done on this question. Unfortunately, there's still a stigma attached to this disease. If you can believe this, when I've approached people about helping as a volunteer or maybe to start a program, some people have said to me, oh, I don't want to be around those people because I don't want to catch what they have. They actually think it's contagious. One of the things that we continue to try to do is to educate and inform people about the disease. As you know, we don't have the cure. We don't know what causes it. And so we're looking at the quality of life element of these individuals. If we can show compassion and demonstrate to them that people care about them and that we can do programs like this to enhance the quality of life through a socialization experience.
Michael Ego is Professor of Human Development and Family Studies at the University of Connecticut. Donna Spellman is the Executive Director of the Riverhouse Adult Day Center in Coscom, Connecticut. Thank you both for sharing some time with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.